KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97 on the FM dial, and we live stream at KFARradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. My format is, as usual, on Mondays, it's business and economics that affect Fairbanks and the state of Alaska. Tuesday is my day of politics, so my guests will be based around that. Unless it's the first Tuesday of the month, then it's a laundry house gang, which is usually based around politics. Wednesday, my guest is an interesting Fairbankson, pioneer, local legend, maybe even a nefarious character. Friday, it's all about Fairbanks, what we get to do over the weekend, those opportunities that are afforded to us, those things that make Fairbanks special. My job is to introduce this world, this planet, to the wonderful world of Fairbanks, give everyone that Fairbanks fix we need once in a while. I will try to get your phone calls, but sometimes our conversations just don't stop, but please be patient. Today we do have phones. Today we have phones. We're at 458-TALK, 458-8255. Mr. Wally got our North Korean phone equipment up and operating, so we are good to go, and I have in here three out of a few members of the Laundry House Gang. We have Wayne Heimer, Al Barrett, and Mike Tinker, and Craig Compo. He's probably selling a snow machine down at Compo's. Go there, get the best price in town. We're immediately giving him a shout-out. And he's also hosting, him and John Hajdukovic is hosting a tribute to the Boy Scouts tomorrow. The people of the year, we have Glenn Anderson and Jerry Evans, and Craig is handling that too.
Going to be a scream.
So he will, Craig will be here soon, and until then we'll just berate him.
Dave, before you get too far along this morning, I know you've been at a terrible handicap the last few days of not having phones and whatnot. And as part of your Christmas present, the Laundry House Gang wanted to make sure that you were ready for that emergency and the next to go round. So we made up this for you.
Oh, yes. I'm going to hang these from my Christmas stocking.
I think you should describe them.
Did you hear about my – okay.
Two soup cans and a string.
two water cups and a – is this
an actual wire.
Yeah, it's a wire. Yeah, Dave's emergency phone, and you spell phone, F-O-N-E, and from Mike, Craig, Lucy, Bill, Wayne, Al, John, thank you very much. I will be hanging this from my infamous Christmas stocking that's hanging up that you all heard about yesterday.
Well, I'm very sorry that you couldn't negotiate a larger size, but sometimes, you know, you just have to live with it.
I know. Gentlemen, how you doing today?
Good.
A lot of stuff happening in the outdoor world of Alaska. Mike, what's on your mind?
Well, there's a half a dozen things going on right at the moment, or just concluded. One of them had a Board of Fish meeting this week that we'll talk about some more later on. Access, always a problem. We're watching the Biden stuff. We're back into roadless issues in national forests.
And here I just heard that the Interior Secretary wants to open up more federal lands to produce more gas and oil.
Yeah, you bet.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
At a higher cost.
I wonder what Department of Interior Secretary that was.
Are the drugs good?
That was a recording from the 1950s.
Are the drugs good?
Yeah. We want to talk a little bit about ice fishing today, touch on the infrastructure bill. And then one of the things we should mention right up front here is the weather is a little warmer, and the 40-mile caribou herd is accessible.
Okay.
And so it would be a great time if folks are running around not wondering what to do with their extra time. 40-mile are north of the Steeves Highway from about 50-mile to 80-mile. People are
road accessible hunting.
Yeah, well, yes, a little bit road accessible, and certainly snow machine accessible.
If you don't have one, go see Craig.
That's correct. Yeah, or Al's got a couple of old ones you could limp along with.
We're gonna take a phone call real fast. Maybe it's. Let's see who it is.
Okay.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with the Laundry House Gang, and your name is.
My name is Kim.
Hello, Kim.
Hi.
completely off topic from what you guys were discussing, but tonight's the school board meeting where they're reevaluating the mask mandate. I just wanted to bring it to everybody's attention of how many students we lost this year out of the Fairbanks North Star Borough. We're down 25% from 2015, and that's not necessarily a reflection of our population.
Did you hear yesterday's broadcast?
I did not.
Oh, Kim. We had a good one, and we had a lady who is works in here with me, and we didn't have fun, so she came in, and she talked about how she pulled her three kids out of school this September when it's not that they went to masks. It's just that when a kid catches COVID, they keep the kid in the classroom. That's what she said. So there's a whole issue there.
Well, also on top of that, when they didn't have the mask, my kid was out 30 days because of precautions. Mm-hmm. When they do have the mask, kids like mine that have a speech impairment suffer. So I pulled mine out because of the mask mandate.
Yeah.
And it's just, why are we pumping so much money into a system that is failing our children? It's $238 million that are in the Fairbanks North Star Borough School District that aren't being funneled to homeschooling parents that just goes.
So hold it. $238 million goes into the Fairbanks North Star Borough School.
Yes.
And there's what, 11,500 students. So you're looking at basically
19,000 per child.
Boy, that just makes my economics want to puke.
That's $2,000 a month per child.
Yeah.
And on top of that, if you look at what the homeschooling parents are given, I got, for pulling my kid out of school, $1,250. That's what I get for the entire year.
So you got the base student allocation.
Correct. Well, it's right now it's at 90%.
Yeah, okay.
And this is something that I've discussed a lot with the state legislature. Why is it not higher? Okay. Why is it not 120 or 150%?
Kim, you have a meeting tonight. We're going to go back to our topic, okay?
All right, thank you.
Yep, bye. It's very passionate, and they do have the school district meeting tonight, and I encourage people, whatever side you're on, make yourself known and whatever it is.
Yeah, it's an important topic for the community. There's no question about that, Dave.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, unusual situation of, in this case, having to cut back.
Yeah,
yeah.
Man. But anyway, the caribou herd, the 40 mile?
The caribou herd are standing there waiting. And
How they had a 5,000 game harvest this year or 10,000?
5,000 total. They'd like to get another couple thousand this winter, 2,500. They're at about 700 and something. So it's been slow, but it usually is going into the dark weather and colder weather.
And right now, you're probably going to get as mild as it's ever going to be for the rest of the year.
Yeah, the only drawback right now is the short daylight. However, living in the Fairbanks area for the Stees makes that pretty nice because you can get up and have your coffee and then go and still be there at daylight.
Yeah, there you go. Al, what do you think of that?
I don't know.
Sometimes thinking is a difficult item.
Absolutely.
Wayne, what do you think of that?
It's wonderful. I've been waiting around for an epiphany. That could just be it.
Well, we've got a phone call coming in. Maybe they'll give us an epiphany. Here we go. Good morning. You're on KFR Radio with the Laundry House Gang, and your name is?
My name's Bill.
Hello, Bill.
There's a petition that's being circulated around. The upshot of it is to extend state recognition to the 205 tribal entities, I guess it is, 200-some tribal entities in Alaska. And I'm not sure what the repercussions of having state recognition of
that's a petition. That's a petition to put on the ballot, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Okay.
And I'm thinking perhaps you could get somebody to explain it, and we could get the pros and cons on it, and maybe your guests know something about it and could comment on that subject. I'll hang up and listen to you.
Bill, thank you for the call. Very good subject. Thank you, sir. Al, what do you think?
I think they have a right to petition it. I think there's been some agreements that were made. And a couple of decades ago that, you know, exempted
Alaska from that. They went with a corporate versus a tribal.
Yeah, exactly. So now
on the lands.
Now we want our cake and eat it too. So
yeah,
well, lands and cash. I think what we're seeing is a reaction to the fact that the legislature has been dealing this for several years, hasn't really satisfied the issue, and so now this is a grassroots thing to try to get the public involved in it to make the decision. It has some not really overreaching, but some specific issue legal situations when you're a recognized tribe, that's one of the things that are in here. Like Al says, people that we know have talked to some of the petitioners and asked them, do they know about the Alaska Native Claim Settlement Act and ANCSA and ANILCA, and they look at you funny. A couple of them got pushed out of the property by Fred Myers the other day because they were being a little aggressive, hustling people, kind of a typical,
yep,
you know, typical clipboard type of thing. And like Al says, the first lines in ANCSA are the other things that are forever given up, and one of them is the tribal status in Alaska. So I guess I can't get really excited about them or any particular community group that would constitute a tribe wanting more bites of the apple.
Yeah.
That's not an unusual thing.
Yes, Wayne.
I've been thinking about this sort of thing lately, and it has occurred to me that if you have a special interest, and there's, you know, we all have our special interests, whatever they may be, if you have a special interest that you really would like to see enshrined in some sort of resolution or law or game regulation, whatever it is, the trick is to convince the people in the public that your special interest is in the general public interest. And I think that's kind of what we see here. There's a special interest by those folks that are not satisfied with the Native Claims Settlement Act of long ago, and they would like to make that, to sell that as a general public interest so that we would all vote, so their special interest would become ours.
We're going to take a phone call here. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Yeah, good morning. My name is John.
Hello, John.
So as far as this petition, you have once again.
John, you're breaking up a little bit there, sir.
Yesterday, is that clearer?
Yes, it is.
All right, good. Yesterday, I was accosted by one of these petitioners. First thing he asked me is, was I a registered voter in Alaska? I asked him the same exact question, and after some back and forth, the person is not a registered voter in Alaska. He's not a resident of Alaska, and he was being paid to circulate this petition, whether that's illegal or not.
Yeah. I wonder if he's being paid by signature.
Probably.
Well, I didn't get into that because I got the information I needed. Whether it's legal or not, I don't know. I'd have to go to the Department of Elections. But it certainly doesn't seem ethical to me.
Doesn't pass the smell test. You're absolutely correct.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you. In Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We're at 458-TALK, 458-8255. Liner House Gang in the studio here with me, and we'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
It's time for the annual Distinguished Citizens Award Banquet with the Midnight Sun Boy Scout Council.
And this year they're honoring Gary and Glenner?
Wait, that can't be right.
It says so right here.
Are you sure they're not just pranking us? Either way, it happens Wednesday, December 8th at the Westmark.
To get tickets or reserve a table, call the Scout office at 452-1976.
The annual Boy Scout Distinguished Citizens Banquet featuring us, Glenner and Jerry, Wednesday, December 8th at the Westmark.
They must really have high standards.
Sponsored by Alaska Airlines, Bell Development, and CSG Inc. The Yukon Quest, an Alaskan tradition for 39 years. This year's modified race consists of two races running simultaneously. The first is a 550-miler from Tok via Eagle and Circle City, with the second, a 200-miler, starting in Circle, both races finishing in Fairbanks. The prize purse for the 550 is $35,000. The start date is February 6th in Tok. The Quest is in need of sponsors and volunteers. If you can help financially or have some time to volunteer, please go online or contact the Yukon Quest office.
Golden Heart Waste Management wants to thank Fairbanks for their support. They're the local guys here to help local businesses and residents with their waste management needs. Golden Heart Waste Management, lifelong Alaskans serving Alaskans. Locally operated with new rigs and new dumpsters, and best of all, competitive rates, keeping your place clean and tidy all year long. Whether you need weekly or monthly pickups, or maybe a bigger size for construction jobs and remodels, call 455-4496 or online at ghwmfairbanks.com. If you haven't gotten a quote yet, you're probably paying too much.
Weather brought to you by GCR. Alignments protect your vehicle's steering system as it extends the life of your tires. Book yours at GCR Tires and Service, the Tire Guys, taming the Alaskan Road, Van Horn at Cushman.
KFAR Weather.
Snow showers likely today, otherwise cloudy. Daytime highs approaching 16, southwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Snow likely again tonight, lows dip down to about 3 below. Chance of snow tomorrow, high of 3 above. 1 to 3 inches of snow today through tomorrow night. And that's your weather on KFAR, 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Currently, it's 16 degrees.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. David Peruse in the studio here with the Laundry House Gang, and have some interesting subjects, but I'm going to sort of divert attention to an issue that's been here a few times, and it's Mr. Heimer's war on the squirrels that he seems to be losing.
Losing. Yeah, they've got me on the run. My only hope is that they will get cold and stay in their little warrens till spring.
You know, yesterday, temperatures warmed. So I've got this Dalmatian. And on my side of the fence, on my yard, zero vole damage. On my neighbor's side of the fence,
just
chewed up. So yesterday, I saw it. I mean, my dog was tracking this vole. I mean, all around underneath the snow, and he got him. It's like, yeah, I'm going, you got a vole problem, get a dog.
You can burrow, but you can't hide.
That's right.
It sounds like a business opportunity to me.
You can rent my dog.
Rent out your dog.
Rent my dog, yeah. So Wayne?
You got a dog? I'm maybe past dogs.
Okay, anyway. Mike, what else is on your mind, sir?
Probably we should talk about the Board of Fish, which just concluded their six-day meeting in Cordova. And it's one of those where they had a huge number of proposals in front of them because of the timing and COVID, the first face-to-face meeting for them in quite a while. They had a lot of kind of deadwood reiteration stuff to go over, and they had a few different and new proposals, and they had a couple of proposals that were kind of, you know, the resolution of them was not well thought out from the common sense standpoint. You know, one of them I would use for an example was the Chitna dip netters, watching the development of the fishery over the years, and especially on the lower end by Haley Creek, had noticed that the number of boats dipping down there where people go and float down with a boat and dip salmon, there is a marker down there, a geographic feature that they have to stop by. You have to pull your nets out of the water by then and go back up. And it's the whole thing is a fairly short run of water. And you get a lot of boats in there. It's very
congested,
very busy, congested. There have been a couple of boats bumped over the years. And in trying to get a little more for public safety, the Chitna Dip Netters Association, which is headquartered here in Fairbanks, they had put in a proposal to lengthen that distance to another geographic feature. And actually, they lined up two features on either side, so it would be a sight line that people could find easily. And they put that proposal into the board, not based on, you know, the number of fishermen, the number of fish, all that kind of thing, but there's no fishing from there down clear to almost to the mouth of the river. Except for a little sport fishing in the mouth of creeks and things, but I mean, just really nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And they and that proposal then got deliberated by the board as a safety issue. The dip netters were concerned about stretching that out so the boats would have a little more time to recover, a little more water to move off into, and then they would be able to go back up, accommodating the growth of that particular part of the fishery. The board got all wrapped around the axle with more fish, you know, people. Al probably remembers the discussion better than I do, but and they voted that proposal down, which keeps the old district, which works, but is not as safe as the new
proposal
would have been. And I can understand the Fish Board looking at a proposal with a little bit of question, including Mackenzie Mitchell, our local representative from Fairbanks area, who really should have been more in harmony with the Dipnetters going into this thing and asking the right questions and things. It's unfortunate. But what happened there then is, you know, the Dipnetters proposal was defeated there, and so we're stuck in the same thing. And there's no extra fish going to be caught by anybody, you know, nothing like that. So it's kind of unfortunate that the board, instead of going to the fish side of it, where they need to go, and saying that's a zero, that's a wash, should have, I think, looked at the safety issue more. I think Al would agree with me.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. It was a proposal for safety, because currently where you have to stop fishing is a narrow spot. And just beyond that, less than a mile. Some history with this proposal. This proposal was submitted last cycle, but there's what they call a capture-recapture wheel downriver little ways. And so the department was against moving that boundary
below that
capture-recapture, because it would affect their data from all these years they've been collecting data in that fish wheel. So the Chittenden Dipnetters rewrote the proposal, went down there, found two geographic locations that you could identify by sight, so that keeps the troopers happy, because they can see.
Yeah,
if somebody's,
it's very defined.
It's very defined, and it was a lot shorter distance, and the river was wider, which was the whole point.
Yeah, maybe twice as wide there.
For the boats to turn around safely, go back up, and do another float. And, yeah, people associated that with the perception of more people are going to come down there, more fish are going to come down there. The department said there's no biological concern because Dipnetters are on they have a quota.
Yeah.
You know, they're based on sonar, fish coming past the sonar. So they get wrapped around the axles on that stuff.
Who was the leader of wrapping it around the axles?
No, it was a pretty consistent vote on that one. But, yeah, there's a couple commercial fishermen, and I think one of the board members that's from South Central was the advocate for supporting this concept. And then like Tinker said, that our representative, or the person from Fairbanks that's appointed to the Board of Fish, you know, her issue was, is, well, if it's an issue, just pull up your nets, go down to where it's wider, turn around and go do your float. We don't have to change a boundary.
This... you know, our system kind of cultures this sort of thing. I don't often stand up for the Board of Game or the Board of Fisheries, but the way, you know, maybe everybody listening knows this, but the way our regulatory system works, any bonehead in Alaska can identify their special interests and put in any proposal they want. And there's a lot of very selfish stuff that just shows up before the boards. And the boards have to sort through all this stuff and decide what's important and what's not important. And I'm not on the board, never intend to be on the board, but I can see it would be quite a chore when you've got, and this happened with sheep, which I know a little more about, several years ago, people kept putting in one thing and another, and there wasn't a meeting, and they kept deferring. Eventually, there were like 100 proposals that were stacked up in front of the board that they're supposed to sort through. And some of them might be worthwhile, and some of them might not. A lot of them are just plain selfish interest that is trying to pretend it's important.
Well, yeah. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We're with the Laundry House Gang here. We're going to have some Fox News, some state news, and we'll come back to the subject when we get back.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
President Biden held a video call with Russian President Vladimir Putin today, as U.S. intelligence officials warn Russia may be planning to invade Ukraine as it's building up military forces on the Ukrainian border.
President Biden spoke last night with key European allies before today's call with Putin. A military incursion by Russia could be met with significant sanctions.
Fox's Jared Halpern at the White House. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer today saying he believes lawmakers will approve raising the nation's debt ceiling.
And I'm optimistic that we will be able to prevent the awful prospect of the U.S. defaulting on its sovereign debt for the first time ever.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen warning last week failure to increase the nation's borrowing power would severely damage the economy. Republican leaders have said Democrats should raise the debt ceiling on their own without any GOP support. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
KTUU reports the Yukon River overflowed its banks late Sunday night, leading to flooding in the villages of Emonic and Kotlik, according to the National Weather Service out of Fairbanks. While the flooding has seen its peak, a coastal flood warning continues for the affected areas. With sustained gusty winds, the potential for ice piling up on the beach and high tides and high water continues to remain a possibility. Sea levels are 4 to 6 feet above normal, with any additional flooding likely to inundate low-lying areas and cause moderate flooding, with water moving inland along the Yukon River up to 30 miles. NASA selected 10 new astronauts on Monday, with half of them being military pilots, as it looks ahead to the Moon and Mars. The space agency introduced the 6 men and 4 women during a ceremony in Houston, home to Mission Control and the Astronaut Corps. More than 12,000 applied for the coveted spots. The 10 selected are in their 30s and 40s and face 2 years of training before becoming eligible for spaceflight. One of those chosen was Navy Lieutenant Denise Burham, who was from Wasilla, Alaska. NASA has plans to put astronauts back on the Moon no earlier than 2025.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
McKinley Orthopedics Sports Medicine and Spine is proud to announce the opening of their second location, the first and only orthopedic and fracture clinic in North Pole. Patients who live south on the Richardson no longer have to drive to Fairbanks for orthopedic care. The board-certified specialists in sports medicine, fracture care, spine treatment, and joint replacements continue to be the most complete clinic in the interior, now offering care at clinics in Fairbanks and North Pole. Located on Badger Road, right past North Pole Veterinary Hospital, visit McKinleyOrtho.com.
Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. But more specifically, let it snow 3 or more inches on Christmas Eve, and Renewal by Anderson will give you free replacement windows. This is Chris Dunn, the local owner, and with this year's wet winter forecast, we expect to give away a lot of free windows. Make your appointment and purchase before December 16th. And if it snows 3 or more inches on Christmas Eve in Anchorage, all the windows you purchased will be free. But if we don't get snow, you'll still save $379 on windows and save $579 on patio doors. And with our Smart Pay programs, don't pay anything for a year. With Renewal by Anderson, get your windows for free if it snows on Christmas Eve. Make your appointment and purchase before December 16th. Call Renewal by Anderson, 885-3100. 885-3100. That's 885-3100. Visit snowywindows.com for terms and details.
Hello, this is Ward Mertes. More than 20 years of helping Alaskans smeared in automobile accidents, and the families of Alaskans killed in car crashes have taught us a few things. Some people have good automobile insurance, some don't. Everybody thinks they have full coverage. The time to ensure you have good automobile insurance is before you get into a car crash. Do it now. Call your insurance agent, have him or her explain all of your insurance to you. Ask if you should buy more. The Mertes Law Firm has helped injured Alaskans for more than 20 years. It's who we are. And while we hope you never need us, we're here if you do.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. David Pruse in the studio here with Wayne Heimer, Al Barrett, Mike Tinker, and Mr. Compo has not shown up yet. I wonder if he's listening to us.
Probably not.
I do not doubt that.
Yeah. Well, if he's banking, I mean, it might have been a really good Saturday and he had to haul 3 gunny sacks full of credit card receipts
Bitcoin,
over to the bank.
Bitcoin.
Yeah, Bitcoin. Cryptocurrency. Yeah.
Now, you know, in professionalism, you have your 3 S's, safe, sound, and sanitary. And this proposal addressed safety.
Yeah.
And they didn't voted in.
Yeah. No. That was my issue with it, was they really passed over even discussing the safety issue, and they went right into the biology of the thing.
They went into the perception of things that may or could have happened.
Right.
They got that wrong because there is a limit that's there.
Well, it's managed.
Yeah.
Well, we kind of like biology.
Yeah.
Well,
but they got that wrong. Yeah.
That's why the Chitna-Dipnetters thought they had a really good proposal this time because it was vetted the first time. Here was the issues we couldn't do it for.
When your local rep doesn't even get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's partly. I had a chat with the Fairbanks Advisory Committee Chairman yesterday, and we were talking about that. It was probably a bit of an omission. The previous board member from the Interior here never missed an Advisory Committee meeting or was always available to sit down and talk on the phone and whatnot. And Mackenzie is new to the board and does not track as closely with following what the local discussions are as the previous guy. And so that's part of it. Part of it's our fault for not getting in touch with her more.
Well, your local boards give that person knowledge and background about things.
Correct.
And show this is what's important to the Interior. Now, this is a double mistake, one on her and one by the local board.
Correct.
And UFTA.
Yeah, and we'll learn from it.
Yeah, okay.
There's another issue that came out of the board that is a demonstration also of probably short-sightedness, and that was in the last few years there's been developed a guiding industry out of the Chitna area fishing in the subsistence district above the bridge. And these are fellows with great big rubber rafts is what they're using mostly. They're motorized, and they run up into the subsistence area and float back down, and then they charge Dave Prues a few bucks to go up there and do that, and they show them how to do it, and they help them get it all figured out, and they clean their fish for them. Been determined that they are guiding fishermen. And some of the local subsistence folks down there and others complained that, gosh, that might take too many fish. They had people out in front of them where they normally don't. Ordinarily, there's just 75 fish wheels along there and not too many boats, you know. So anyway, they went after the board to take away the ability of people to guide fishermen like that above the bridge. And after a lot of discussion, for the 100 or 200 Alaskans that were using those services and buying those services, they went ahead and quashed it and said, no, it's not legal anymore to guide up above in the subsistence district. And they were getting subsistence permits, and you know there's a limit for them in that sub-district for dipping. So it wasn't an uncontrolled fishery by any means. And the net result of this now in talking about it is this is a fishery that's all for Alaskans, both the PU fishery at Chitna, the dip net fishery, and the subsistence fishery. Only Alaskans can participate in that.
What's a PU?
Personal use.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's one of those where nobody from Nebraska can come in, so you can't really make a complaint somebody's taken fish. So every fish that's caught up there under a subsistence permit is taken to an Alaska home and chewed up or shared, as the regulations provide. And as Al said, the board, in looking at this as a subsistence thing, should have gone through the 8 criteria. That's their normal feature. There are 8 criteria for subsistence activities, and I'll let him talk about it again here in a minute and give you some more detail. But the real nasty thing about this, I think, is it's liable to say, so if Dave Prues has been doing this and suddenly can't, but he knows Craig Compo, and Craig Compo has a great big boat, okay? So there's nothing to keep you from doing it as partners with no money involved. When he's not guiding you, he's just taking you up there and you float down. And now you look at the situation of maybe we have 100 extra boats.
On the river
in there that these guys were pretty much keeping out because they were providing
the service.
Now, there's a couple other things about the way the decision was made that Al could talk about, I think, that are also really important.
Yeah, I think, this was a... It seemed like a fairly simple proposal to me when I read it, but when it got on the floor for deliberations and after, public testimony and committee of the whole, which is another bite at the apple for public testimony, that, one commercial fisherman was against it because that means there's more Alaskans participating in a subsistence fishery, which has priority, so that may or may not ever affect them in the future. And the local corporation down there was against it because it's their backyard and they don't like to see the influx of people on their river.
So Otno was against it.
Yes.
I can understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they made their points, and some of them were valid. But the whole thing was revolved around subsistence. And the board was struggling with how could it be? There's nothing in regulation or statute prohibiting the activity that was going on. An Alaskan, you know, had a couple rubber rafts down there and a couple employees and was charging people after they got their permit.
After their permit, so they're legal to subsistence.
Yes.
So you could go get this at, say, Compos and rent it from him there, but as long as he's not going out there with you on the river,
right?
All of a sudden, now that's when it becomes illegal.
Right. And so he was providing a service. And in my eyes, we could say it's a business.
Mm-hmm.
But another way to look at it is look at the 8 criteria. What was this person doing operating the boat? He was taking them out, showing them where there's a place to fish or what to look for where fish could be. And then he was showing them or telling them how to use the dip net to catch those fish. And then he was cleaning fish and showing them how to do that. That sounds like passing
information,
traditional knowledge down from one person to another one. And, you know, then there's this thing called economy of effort that's in these 8 criteria that the board goes through. Your people don't have to spend a lot of extra money, go buy a $12,000-$13,000 boat, bring it down there to go get their subsistence needs met. They can pay a person a few hundred dollars to do it and do it efficiently, which the board had exception to, too. They're like, those subsistence fishermen are too successful. We can't have them do that. You know, there was even one board member that watched a video on YouTube and made a comment. It was submitted as a recorded copy of these people. They were actually in the personal use fishery. They weren't even in the subsistence fishery. They all limited out in a very short time. They filleted all their fish. They're in a cooler. And, you know, somebody's recording this, and the guy opens the cooler, and he goes, wow, what are we going to do with all these fish? Well, that board member associated that statement with
wanton waste.
Wanton waste. And he couldn't allow Alaskans, which has a higher limit in the subsistence fishery, to even have that opportunity to use those fish because they probably are just going to waste them.
So you have, on certain boards, on every board, there's a few scarecrows. They're looking for a brain.
And the whole issue down in that section of river is it's really checkerboarded up to access to the river.
Yeah.
You know, you got corporations, which are private landholders. You know, mm-hmm. they have all the right in the world. And then
on the land side, but not on the river side.
And you have all the traditional fish wheels that have their traditional spots, and it's kind of like trapping. You don't impede on somebody else's fish wheel area.
Yeah.
Or set net area. And so this was just a way to get access for other Alaskans to get their subsistence needs being met. And it was distasteful and not palatable to the board that somebody was actually making money teaching people
how to do it.
How to do it. And recouping.
That, Al, that must have been a tough segment for you to sit through. Were you wanting to crack a few heads together?
Well, you know, it's just, at any meeting, I mean, like Wayne's saying, you know, some things you get passionate about and you have a different view, and you just have to work with the system. And, you know, my special interest didn't match up with their interest.
Apparently not. And with that, we're going to take a commercial break. Fairbanks, we're at 458-TALK, 458-8255. My North Korean phones are working. I don't have to use the gifts that the Laundry House gang gave me, that hang from my microphone. And we'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Hello, Fairbanks. Dave Bridges here from Altrol Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing. Hey, natural gas is here. We're at the top of the gas utilities and the borough's approved contractor list for oil and gas conversions. We have licensed and experienced techs and installers and would love to give you a free quote. Call Altrol Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing today. Since 1982, the company you can trust, 452-8680, or online at altrolinc.com.
Glass Doctor. Our trained specialists are experts at fixing foggy and cracked glass, leaving any residential window looking like new without replacing the entire window. Bring back the view of any window with Glass Doctor. Visit glassdoctor.com to request a free estimate on repairing your foggy or cracked windows. Let Glass Doctor bring back your view.
Call the Glass Doctor, we'll fix your paint. Oh, yeah!
The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center provides free, confidential pregnancy tests to any woman in need. But they offer so much more to women, men, and families. By participating in one-on-one parenting classes selected by you, you can take advantage of Earn While You Learn, earning valuable credit to spend on children's items and clothing in Maria's Boutique. The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center. Call 907-455-8255 or visit online findoutfree.com. Findoutfree.com.
Weather brought to you by the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks. Your eyes connect you to your world. Care for them with the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks, your eye health professionals on Mini Street.
KFAR weather.
Snow showers likely today, otherwise cloudy. Daytime highs approaching 16, southwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Snow likely again tonight, lows dip down to about 3 below. Chance of snow tomorrow, high of 3 above. 1 to 3 inches of snow today through tomorrow night. And that's your weather on KFAR, 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Currently, it's 16 degrees.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. David Perus in the studio here with four members of the Laundry House gang. We have Craig Compo joining Mike Tinker, Al Barrett, and Wayne Heimer. Now, Craig, you are involved in a production tomorrow with the Boy Scouts of America.
Yeah,
thank you very much for doing it.
Yeah, it's the Distinguished Citizen Award, and this year it's Citizens. It's Jerry and Glenner. I think you talked about it earlier on the show. I just talked to them over there. There are a couple of three tables left, individual seats you can get tickets for. It's a great fundraiser. Johnny Hajdukovic and I are going to be co-hosting it. We've got some great surprises. Anybody that's a fan of Jerry and Glenner needs to be there. You can call the Scout office at 452-1976, or you can go to their Facebook page, and I think Eventbrite, and you can just get your tickets that way, seat tickets. But you want to be there. These guys are hilarious. They've been a
great
part.
You were the recipient last year.
No. Well, I got bumped because of COVID. It's kind of a nice relief.
Unfortunate.
I think they're going to do one for me in May, they say. Outdoors at Compo's on 4122 Boat Street.
you'll have your spring light of boats and engines in, too, right?
It doesn't blow it tomorrow night.
Yeah, that's true. It's going to be fun, and people, like I said, these guys have done a lot for this town, keeping us laughing and some great entertainment over the years. So I want to repeat my favorite Glenner line. Okay, is that all right?
Well,
stand-up comedy line real quick. It's clean. It's clean. It's back when Frontier Flying Service was flying, and he said, I love Frontier Flying Service, Johnny's old business. He said, you don't have to take your belt off. You don't have to take your shoes off. You just walk right through. He goes, the other day I was getting on the airplane, and the flight attendant said, chainsaw? Oh, that's going to have to go in the overhead. Anyway, I just love that.
We're going to take a phone call with that. Good morning. You're on KFAR with the Laundry House Gang, and your name is?
Bill.
Hello, Bill.
Yeah, I'd like Compo to tell his joke about Glenner and the Scoutmaster.
Well, first of all, is there any legal issues you may have to represent Craig as a client for later on? Are you fishing for clients?
Well, that's the motive behind the call.
Okay, now Craig has his headphones on, so please, Bill, explain to Craig what you want him to do.
I want him to tell the joke about Glenner and his Scoutmaster.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's not going to happen. Hey, but Bill and I were at the Bernie Carl unveiling the movie last night in Anchorage. And by the way, Bill, it was great to see you back in men's clothing. But it was an absolutely fantastic event. It was really an amazing movie. They're not going to be able to show it up here for a while unless we get a private screening of it. But was it a film festival? No, I'm telling you, it was an hour. It was fantastic. It was all about Bernie Carl and the history, and from his growing up to some of the crazy projects he's done. And I don't know, it was 10 out of 10. It was
better than the Mayor Pete biopic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, what was really cool is there was a lot of feedback to Craig. as far, I should say Craig, but it was nice to get to know Bernie, the person, as opposed to the Bernie guy with the duck call.
Yeah.
And there you go.
That's Bernie the person, too.
He's a very exceptional person, and can't wait to see that movie up here. I was invited to it, but I had other things I was doing. Wasn't able to get down there. But Mr. C is hosting an event tomorrow with Mr. H.
Yeah.
And that's going to be quite a team. You put Johnny and Craig together, and the only thing you can do is smile. Yeah. You're just going to enjoy yourself. And there will be no stone left unturned.
Oh, it'll be great.
Bill, thank you for the...
No stoner left unturned.
All right.
It can go either way real fast. You have a great afternoon, Bill. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye-bye.
So, okay. Now, Craig, anything else on your mind besides pumping a separate company on Boat Street up?
Yeah. No, the snow's coming. That's nice. Got a little snow coming. They're getting dumped on in Anchorage, I guess.
Yeah.
So anyway, got a lot of good riding coming up pretty soon. But no, I kind of was tied up here for the first part of the show. Don't know what you guys all talked about. So
you.
Just about me?
You.
It should have been a real interesting show.
Yeah. Your ears should have been burning the whole time.
Yeah.
Now, we talked a lot about the Board of Fish, but Al, when's your Board of Game meet?
We have a meeting coming up in about the middle of January or the end of January, like the 20th.
Now, the Board of Fish's first meeting that public could attend, and they put it at the end of the world, Cordova.
Which is where they
was that on purpose? Was that on purpose?
Well, it's a place. It's been
historically, it's a place. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's been the place.
So if you wanted to go from Fairbanks there, you're either driving to Valdez and then maybe taking a hop over, or you're flying from Fairbanks to Anchorage, then to Cordova.
That's right. Yeah. And so, you know, some of the history with that is I think only twice the Board of Fish has met in Fairbanks, because it's like our area, the Cordova, Prince William Sound areas, the backyard to the Fairbanks. And so, but the commercial fishermen never want to come into the interior. And they'd sooner have it down in Cordova, where it's, you know, their own little island. It's expensive to get
there.
They're
with their people.
Housing.
They're with their people.
Yeah. And so the Board of Fish has spent many, many of cycles down there, and it's been very hard to convince them to have it up here.
If someone wants to put in anything on the Board of Game, when do they have to have their proposal in?
Well, we're going to start taking proposals for next year, but I don't have the dates in front of me what the times are on that.
How would they go about doing it?
There's actually forms. One way you can do it is submit it yourself, and there's forms on the ADF&G website underneath the Board of Game slot. Or you go to Fairbanks Fish and Game Advisory Committees and let them help you, or somebody will volunteer to help you how to write one, and potentially even convince the AC to submit it as, you know, a Fairbanks Advisory Committee suggestion, proposal.
Is there any wind out there in regards to putting a safety zone around Denali National Park, like they always come out every 3 to 4 years?
Well, so that cycle of proposals hasn't come up yet, and so that just went through March 2020. So it's every 3 years.
We see that.
We can see something like that proposal get recycled, yeah. So,
I would ask, is there some contentious ones coming up that you know about, or is there some that that are good ideas you've heard about that are being proposed?
Well, there's a lot of good proposals out there. Some of the more contentious ones for the South Central meeting, which is this January coming up, which is Unit 13. Unit 13 is always a great unit for a lot of discussions. There's been a lot of different stuff tried and incorporated, and down there they have the community harvest hunts. That's Anchorage's backyard and Otna's, you know, area. And there's some federal ground out there.
A lot of road access.
There's a lot of road access. There's federal lands out there. There's private lands out there. There's state lands out there. So it can be a very contentious area and try to...
Congested with different ownership rights.
Yeah, different interest groups.
Different interest groups. That's Wayne's buzzword for today.
I'm mantraizing on interest.
And so, yeah, that'll be a great discussion for the board to go through and, you know, listen to the reports and listen to public testimony. Public comments will be all recorded and be available for people to read here pretty quickly. And it's always good to see what people have to say.
There you go. Okay. Well, Wayne, anything on your mind with the board game?
Yeah. I'm always puzzled a little bit that it's possible to get as wound around the axle as we do. And sometimes I'm always stunned when Al begins to sound like a diplomat.
That means he's plotting something.
But it's, yeah, there's all kind of stuff. A lot of it is special interest stuff. And the special interest stuff, and again, the trick is to convince the public that your special interest is theirs.
Okay.
And that happens, it'll be there in full bloom.
Yeah. We're coming to the last 4 minutes of the show. In December, besides the caribou, what would you be looking at doing, Mike?
Ice fishing. And I tried to get some more information on it this morning. The borough has its ice houses out on, like, Catana Lakes and whatnot, so you can work through Parks and Rec there. DNR, I can't confirm that they've got them out on Birch and Quartz, but the word was the middle of last week that as soon as they checked the ice again, they were going to do that. The problem was the very early in November, the ice wasn't quite thick enough, and as they're coming into that season, people wait. They wait quite a while to check the ice again. But we know now after the cold spell that there's not a problem driving on most of the lakes now. And so that's going to come up real quick. People could check with the DNR, Division of Parks.
So what you're saying is it was too cold for the DNR to go drill some holes to check the ice?
Yes, that was correct. Actually, they don't even usually drill them themselves. They depend on fish and game, and it was too cold for them to go.
Craig, what's your idea for people to go out and get out in the field this
Yeah,
this
I agree. Burbot fishing, maybe.
On the Tanana?
Well, on the Tanana.
Lower Chena?
The Good Pastor.
Good Pastor, of course.
Yeah, different areas. I have a question, though, maybe Mike or one of you guys know burbot. I mean, they're phenomenal eating fish. Ugliest, best-tasting fish in the water, I think.
The highest density of burbot in the world is on the Gila Lake River that goes between the Tanana River and Gila Lake.
I didn't know that, yeah.
Yeah, I've got a lot on the Gila Lake River.
So my question would be, do they migrate much? Do those fish move around, you know, like, you know anything, Wayne? Or?
Yeah, they go a long ways.
Where do they go?
Where do they go, Al?
They don't go to the ocean.
Well, they, like a lot of fish, in the springtime, they go up rivers and tributaries from a main branch.
Of the Tanana.
Yeah. And, you know, so there's a lot of burbot in the Chena and the Salcha and Good Pasture.
And but they're not local particularly, are they?
I've caught
burbot,
them locally.
Well, a burbot tagged one place is liable to end up a long ways.
Oh, yeah, they can do that, too. There's always exceptions to the rule, but generally they'll be in the Tanana River in springtime. And so, like now, the lower Chena in the deeper holes will have burbot in them, probably from the power plant down. And then at the mouth of the...
What do you use to catch them, Al?
A hook.
Uh-huh. That's right.
I used to catch a lot of them right by my house. Yeah. Off the dock, but that sort of Chena. Stopped. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Global warming.
Could have been. Well, I was thinking maybe the.
Overfished.
The core dredged the Chena. Yeah. Maybe that had something to do with it.
Administration change.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. And we're at the end of our show. I wish you a Merry Christmas and festive holidays this year. And Fairbanks, I will see you tomorrow. I have Nick Nugent, and we have the beginning of the Alaska Road Commission that we'll be discussing. You have a great day.
AR 97.5.